This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Seven-three, the fan. Let's get our heads right. Feels so good to be out here with the fellas, and we're parked back here. We got all set up and ready to rock. The sun is rising in Arizona. It is a beautiful, beautiful morning. I am Woodsy. This, to my right, is Benjamin Higgins. He's your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. We've been here for some beautiful mornings. We've been here for some less than beautiful mornings. This one, top notched. Yeah. About 60 degrees right now. It's going to get a little bit warmer today, but the sun was coming up with some beautiful, beautiful colors right to our left this morning. I think it's going to be a very good day, Woodsy.
Stunning, stunning, stunning stuff. And to Ben's right, the great Paul Reindl, executive producer of the program. Paulie, good morning to you.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good, buddy. How are you?
I am outstanding. What a morning. What a setup they got for us this year.
It feels...
I'm in a really good mood.
I am, too. I'm in a great mood. Hope springs eternal. Can't say that we felt this way yesterday. You know, we always do the recap of the drive out. There was one year we drove out where a guy was driving on the wrong side of the road and was barreling straight towards us. We could have been killed easily, head-on collision. That was pretty creepy. Yesterday was a bit it was a bit dicey as well. I got the standard speeding ticket, as I do every year. So that's just goes without saying. Every single time I drive out here, I was booking it pretty good. No question about it. He actually did give me a little bit of a break on it. California Highway Patrol doing his job. That's on me. 100%. Take responsibility for that. I was hauling ass.
Why were you in such a hurry?
I was trying to catch you. I really was. That's exactly what I was doing.
You eventually did. Despite two extra stops and a speeding ticket, you eventually did
catch me between
Cronenworth,
Yuma, and
Jackson
Gila
Merrill.
Bend.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
What's up, boys?
At some
Good
point.
To see you.
So, I'm sorry that you got the speeding ticket.
No, it's fine.
You're not the first. Yeah. You won't be the last.
No, it was not. But no, so I got my standard speeding ticket. Then we're cruising in pretty good, and you know I'm gonna wait for Jackson and Crony to walk away before I tell the next story.
All right, you're good.
Because so we got a text on the way in that said, "Hey, we're
about 10 minutes away from Yuma at this point.
So we're
about to hit
lunch." And you know, listen, man, in this gig, you have to be fluid. You have to be able to move around. You have to be malleable, right? You have to be able to change course. Storms coming this way, you got to be able to change and go another way, go around if you have to. Well, we got a text from our people, and they said we may have a slight issue tomorrow.
this is the second one of those.
And,
texts.
Right, and by slight I mean major. There's a chance that Shilty gives these guys kind of a what they like to call a show and go day. So listen, if you got treatment, you want to come in get a little extra work, fine. Don't break your back getting in here early tomorrow, which would be today. So, Paul, and you know, if Shilty had decided to drop that hammer and said, guys, go ahead, you know, just come in about 11:30, we're done. We are sitting out here on the back patio just shooting the breeze for 4 hours.
No one's here.
So Paulie and I were a wreck.
It was about noon, and we had from noon till about, what did you say, 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Nothing but
just anxiety and panic.
Nauseous-inducing anxiety.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm literally racking my brain for ideas like, all right, so again, we'll be fine. We've done four-hour shows with no interviews before. It will look weird being out at Fantasy Camp talking to zero players or personnel. So that would have been a little odd. So we were in full-blown panic mode on the whole drive. So it was not a comfortable drive. I'd already gotten the ticket. Then we're driving out, and we as soon as we, like, turn the corner, we're on the home stretch. We got about 40 minutes left. Massive accident, and I mean massive accident.
You weren't in it.
No, I wasn't in it.
It existed on the 10 freeway west of Phoenix.
It was, and so we are just sitting, rotting, parked on the freeway the whole time. So, listen, it's just, it happens. These kind of things happen. We did get through it. We all got to the house. Then we got the text that said, nope, everything's good tomorrow. You know, fear not. Nothing to worry about. But I think the thing that I was most concerned about, it's probably my co-host. It's Ben Higgins. And there's a couple of reasons for this. So, as we were leaving Mr. G's, where we all had lunch, we wanted to do the divide and conquer bit, right? Like, we all have a lot to do when we get in. Ben, you go to the Peoria Sports Complex, which is where we are now. You grab our credentials. We will go to the grocery store. We will load up on some necessities for the house. We'll get locked in there, and we'll see you at the Airbnb. So we walk. I asked him at Mr. G's in the parking lot, all right, we're going to go to the grocery store. What do you need? He goes, nothing, just water. And I said, oh, okay, that's it? Yep. All right, well, text me if you change your mind or anything pops your mind. No problem. We get to the grocery store. I text Ben again. Ben, we're here. We're at the store. I got everything at my fingertips. What would you like? Ben writes back, nothing. Water. And I'm sitting there going, are you like a psycho? Like, what kind of psycho? Nothing. No snacks, no cashews, no almonds, no popcorn, no nothing.
Yeah, I've tried to cut out snacking between meals, so why just give myself the temptation of having a big bag of something that I probably shouldn't be eating?
Well, because you know your two chubby co-hosts are definitely going to get snacks, so we're getting
snacks.
That's
fine.
We didn't even go crazy.
We did not go crazy at all. We literally got cashews and popcorn.
Plus, we're only here for two more days.
72 hours.
Yeah, I mean, less than that now. We've got 48 hours left, and we'll for 52 hours left, and we're going to be heading home.
So what?
We're going to be here most of the time. So I just figured that would just be a waste. So, snacks that I'm probably not going to eat. When am I going to have time to eat them?
I don't know. When you're sitting up till midnight watching a basketball game? How about that? So that's one. So then it's about 6 o'clock and we'd eaten a pretty big lunch. And we were like, but we got to eat something, right? I mean, the company's paying for it. So I said, let's go get like a sandwich or something light. So Ben's like, no, I'm going to go for a walk. So me and Paulie go to dinner and there's Ben just walking around the neighborhood by himself. I'm like, he might be a serial killer. No snacks, no dinner.
Actually did go get dinner about 8:30 before the Aztecs game.
8:30. Yeah. I was so dead asleep by 8:30.
I don't usually eat until
what'd
after I went to actually it's a pretty good sushi place down the street.
Ate sushi in Glendale.
I did. And it was excellent. Yellowtail was the name of the place if anyone wants to check it out off of
All right. Yeah, Yellowtail.
Like the fish, Yellowtail.
It's the way you said it. Yellowtail is how you say. You said Yellowtail.
I thought. Well,
you're a yellow snake.
You're a crumb creep.
You really have no idea because we took separate vehicles out here, and I was actually kind of relieved because remember on the way back from fantasy camp, you came with me, which meant either I was going to wear it for whatever I was listening to on my drive, which was golf. But now I knew.
But you did it. I didn't make you wear it.
You didn't. Well,
I wore it.
You did mention it later though.
Oh, but, yeah, of course.
This time on the drive, I turned on a couple of things as we were leaving San Diego, and it just wasn't feeling it, so I just didn't listen to anything. Sounds of the Road.
Oh.
The entire time.
My.
The entire drive. That's about it. No music, no sports talk radio,
what were
no
you
podcasts.
Watching?
What were you watching on the your
map
phone?
When we passed
you?
I was just looking at the map.
Okay.
Because we passed you, kept putting your head down and looking.
Yeah, it was the...
I thought you were watching an adult film or something.
No, that's, you know, kind of like the airplane. We're just looking at the map of the screen. I like to see how close I am and how much time has passed since we...
Dateland.
Since we have left. Yeah, we got Dateland coming up. Oh,
Yuma.
So you listened to nothing on the drive. You only wanted water.
And you're trying to tell us you're not a psycho?
Yeah, you're not a serial killer.
I'm just living a nice ascetic lifestyle.
God! He's like, yeah, you know, when we go to spring training, I want it to feel as much like Guantanamo Bay as I can make it. You know, like I really want to feel what it's like to be in solitary confinement for 72 hours. So I'm just going to torture myself.
I would have asked for bread then.
I had a theory.
Yeah, McKee said, you raw dogged the drive.
You raw dogged it. You did. You raw dogged. You raw dogged.
I did. I was driving, but I mean, the pilot, I assume, does the same thing in the plane.
He's talking to people.
Listen to podcasts the whole time.
You are truly. I had no idea that this happened. That is, you're incredible. You are just incredible. My theory was that Adam got you so spun out about the expenses that you're like, I'm not eating. Fine. I don't need snacks. I'm not expensing those, right?
No,
I just paid for them.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. I feel good today, though. I feel good and ready to go. Should be a good. We've got 12 hours on the air. We got players who will be arriving shortly, and I'm very excited about our next 3 days.
You are. The chat is going crazy right now about what an absolute trip that you are. This is truly amazing. I had no idea you raw dogged it. But, I mean, so you stayed up and watched the game last night.
I did. You said goodnight to me at about 7:30. Mm-hmm. Then at 8, I turned on the first half of the Lakers game, went to get some food, watched the Lakers game while I ate, then came back, watched the first half of the Aztecs game, watched the end of the Lakers game at halftime, then watched the second half of the Aztecs game.
The drive, I drove the whole way, but it was anxiety-ridden, you know, knowing the text that we had gotten, and then, of course, the traffic didn't make it.
The traffic, there were more cops and Border Patrol than I've ever seen on that drive.
There was a full-on drug stop. There were dogs, like, at a random spot, like, on the highway. It wasn't,
not
like,
at one of those stations.
Not at a station.
Just in the middle
just
of
in the
desert.
Middle of the road.
There was, like, middle of nowhere. It was, like, 20 minutes outside of El Centro, maybe?
It was wild.
The drug-sniffing dog was very cute.
It was cute. It was just a weird, weird day. So hopefully today goes a lot better. I'm sure it will. It's already gone better. It's a beautiful day. We got a lot to get to today. Very excited.
Well, I just saw our best friend for the week is Craig Huener, who is the head of PR for the San Diego Padres. He just walked in, and he just told me, he's like, all right, I'm going to get in there, start getting to work, bringing these guys over here. So
Get this thing fired up, dude. I'm so ready.
We don't have a whole lot of direction on these shows.
You guys know that. You guys have been through these shows with us before,
this
man.
This is a start at 6, wrap up at 10. Be with us the whole time because you're not going to want to miss anything.
Yeah, in honor of my sushi last night, we're going to have an omakase menu. The chef is just going to serve you courses.
Oh, serve us.
Surprise you as we go. You're not going to have a menu laid out for the program today like I usually do.
All right, we'll sit back and just get some yellow tail.
And we will just find out what's on the program.
Right.
When we come back, Kelly's going to check traffic back in San Diego first thing, and then we are off and running. Padres spring training, Bennett Woods live from Peoria, Arizona. Just getting the sun just creeping over the buildings and the fields here in Arizona on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Back live, Ben Woods, Peoria, Arizona. Joe Musgrove just walked by and said hello during our break. I was afraid to touch his arm, but he looked good.
He said,
you're fine. You can shake it and everything. No damage can be done at this point. He's all fixed up
and
looking pretty good.
Even funnier was Xander Bogaerts walked by and he saw us here and then he did the fake phone call that I do when I go into the grocery store.
It's a veteran move.
He really was. Yeah. He was like, oh, hey, everything's good. Send him over. I was like, that's savvy, dude. That's a savvy veteran move by Xander. I mean,
avoid the radio host as you come in 100%. By faking a phone call.
Now,
very smart.
To the the other end of the extreme, the great Jake Cronenworth never avoids us. He always sits down with us. Crony, welcome back to the program. It's only been a few weeks since we sat with you. How are you? Get his mic popping. There we go. Benny, that's all you do.
I thought Paulie had
it. Get that mic on.
I'll take your word for it that it's Jay Cronenworth. I'm staring directly into the sun, so I got no idea who's sitting there.
No,
you're good.
No,
sit right there. You're good.
You're
on camera so everyone back home can see you. I'm of least concern here. But we talked to you at FanFest, so this is a nice soft landing for us just to catch up on how you've been the last, I don't know, what has been, about 4 weeks since we saw you?
Yeah, something like that.
How's camp going?
It's been good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been smooth. It's been refreshing. It's the same group of guys, same coaching staff, and everything's going really well.
And some of the new guys coming in, swinging it pretty well, man. Always kind of fun to see. I can't wait to ask Schulte about this, too, and you can probably speak to it. You know, you hear all the time, and we in the media certainly talk about, oh, man, there's this competition, this open competition for left field, or maybe, you know, there's going to be some room at catcher, and guys can really make a name for themselves. You've kind of been part of those competitions. How does that work for the player? You know, we know how we view it in the media, but for the player, how does it work?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, like, you're coming into camp, and, like, you're going to play a lot early on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think you've seen, like, Eggie.
Yeah.
Like, he's played almost every game.
Yep.
I was talking to him the other day, and he's, like, playing again. And I'm like, no, it's good. Like, you're getting opportunities and doing your thing.
He's making the most of them, too.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the really fun part to see it. It kind of blew my mind when I found out he's, like, the longest. He's been in this organization longer than anyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we found that out the other day. He's been here a while and, you know, obviously has a lot of talent. And when they do something where they move you from a position that you're used to playing and ask you to play a different position, that's a whole nother layer, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, whether – I know he played left field a couple days ago, and he's been playing third, played some second. I think he may have DH'd one game, but no, I mean, it's – you know, they're not easy days because you're working on those different spots. You're taking fly balls in left field, even though you may be playing third in the game or whatever you may be doing. But, no, I mean, it's good. It helps you get comfortable at whatever spot is maybe new for him, which is, you know, kind of that left field spot.
Yeah.
Jake, I think we talked a little bit about it at FanFest, but the difference between last year and this year in terms of having Mike Schild and almost all of this coaching staff back, you're not getting ready to go to Korea and kind of accelerating everything. What's the different feeling this year compared to last year at this time?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of our first real spring training since, shoot, I don't even know, 2021 maybe?
That's right.
And, no, it's been refreshing. It's nice. It's, you know, guys have their schedules. You know what days you're playing. You know what work you're getting in that morning if you're not in the lineup. And, just kind of the cohesiveness between the guys and the coaching staff has been awesome.
Okay, give me we've got Jake Cronenworth here with Bennett Woods this morning. Give me your favorite part of spring training, like as far as the work and stuff goes, and then give me the worst part. Give me the one where you're like, oh my god, it's got to be base running, isn't it?
What did you say, base running?
The worst, right?
We do a pretty good job.
It's like make it fun.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not you or me. We hate running. Obviously,
I say running.
We make it intentional and like it's quality work. So it's not like you're not getting gas. But no, it's. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's not anything that you dread doing. I would say the funnest part about spring training. I mean, like those first few days are always so fun, like re-seeing everybody
yep.
and, you know, being back out on the field and getting back in the swing of things.
Literally.
Literally. I don't know. The worst thing? Getting sunburned?
Yeah. It's very, just dry.
Jake, you are very fair skinned.
Yes. He's got that Rindle skin on him. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. It just zaps you. The minute you get out of here, your lips get chapped. Your face gets all dry.
Your nose gets blocked up.
Or
everybody's, like, you know, the first couple weeks, even now, like, you know, everybody's getting sick.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting sick. So.
Oh, dude.
It's like one guy gets it, and then four guys get it, and then everybody's got it.
Yeah, you forget. It's a little bit like a barracks in there. You know what I mean? You got 60 guys kind of running around.
There's no way around it.
Oh, man, that's tough.
So I don't know if you remember, but at FanFest, you made a request for the next time that you were going to join the program.
Yes. Do you remember the request?
You said you wanted to do some trivia.
Oh, yeah.
We got you.
Yeah. Right, so I got you.
Perfect.
So, you know, he does his musical trivia every single day, but I thought, I don't know what kind of musical expert is Jake. So I've got a mystery category, 5 questions, 60 seconds.
Okay.
Now, here's the deal. I'm not going to tell you what the theme is. But you'll figure it out as you go. So if you are not sure of an early one, you can pass.
As long as it's not music or movies.
It's not music. There is a movie question or two, but you'll, I don't know. We'll see if you can figure it out. So you can pass and then figure it out as we go because the theme will kind of work itself out. So Frank, back in the studio, if you put 60 seconds on the clock.
Okay. Better speed through it.
Your time begins when I start the first question. Good luck, Jake.
Take on Crony.
Here we go. Which back-to-back Cy Young Award winner in 2018 and 2019 began his college baseball career as a shortstop at Stetson University?
Jacob DeGrom.
Correct. Wow. Which actor was nominated for an Academy Award for his portrayal of Jack Twist in the 2005 film Brokeback Mountain?
Ooh.
You can pass.
Pass.
All right.
Which boxer and rival of Sugar Ray Robinson was nicknamed Raging Bull? Pass.
I wasn't even alive.
That's right. Actor Kevin Miles plays which friendly insurance agent in a series of commercials often seen during sporting events, including the Super Bowl?
Mayhem?
No.
Who's the guy?
Yeah.
No, the name of the character.
The character is Jake from State Farm.
Oh.
Which 1990 movie does Tim Robbins play a Vietnam veteran who returns home only to devolve into madness after suffering from disturbing hallucinations?
He hasn't picked up on the category yet.
He hasn't picked up in the category.
Are these all Jakes?
Yes.
They're all Jakes.
Yeah.
You got it now.
Okay,
time's up.
It's Jake.
You got
Jake.
Jacob DeGrom, Jake Gyllenhaal, Jake LaMotta, Jake from State Farm, and Jake Jacob's Ladder. So
Jacob's
that was all
old.
That's an old one. Yeah,
that's before
Jake's time. But there weren't a lot of Jacob movies
before my time outside
they were.
State Farm and DeGrom.
That's fair.
You got DeGrom though. That was good right away.
If you had done baseball trivia, I would have.
Well, you're a baseball player.
That's easy. It's baseball trivia. You got that right away. Jacob DeGrom. I didn't realize he was a shortstop.
Yeah,
you know, wanted
surprised.
To be a pitcher. You were a shortstop.
Kind of
wanted to be a pitcher.
Oh yeah.
How's he?
Tough.
Nasty.
Yeah.
So nasty.
Tough.
I bet. When he's out there, he's the one.
Do have one hit off him, though.
You got a knock off him?
One hit, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I love that you guys remember that, too. I guess if I got a hit off Jacob DeGrom, I'd probably remember it. There's one of those that sticks in your memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's the swing feeling? How's everything feeling? Body feels good?
Yeah, everything.
Good. We're excited for the season. For you guys, too. Like, just it's kind of cool, like we talked about. There's always a ton of new faces in and out. Like, who's impressed you so far? And I know you said you were talking to Eggie, but some of the other guys that are kind of the new guys.
Guy that's impressed me so far. Man, there's some really good young pitchers that we have.
Is it Bradley or Bradgely?
Bradgely.
It is Bradgely. Okay, because there's a T in his name,
but spelled Bradgely.
Yeah,
he's nasty.
I faced him in a live BP, my first live BP, which probably wasn't a good idea because he's throwing 97, and I was like 2 weeks ago. Like, they're like, hey, show up when pitchers and catchers. I got here, and it was like, all right, live BP against Bradgely. Now he looks really good, and it's a really good arm with a good changeup, and I think he's working on some other stuff. I haven't seen him throw yet, but Braden Nett.
Yeah, heard a lot of good things about him, too. Yeah, that's awesome.
No, there's a lot of really good young arms in there that hopefully can make an impact at some point.
I just can't imagine you have to face those guys in batting practice.
Yeah, that it doesn't seem fair. Right.
Well, they're so much more ready than we are.
Yeah, 100%.
But also, it's like you're on the backfields, and like your intensity is at the lowest you possibly could think it is. You're still competing, yeah.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's so different.
It's different.
Than getting in a game or even when the season starts. Like, it's crazy.
It's, he's getting a lot of, they showed a little video of him yesterday. He's got a lot of poise for a 21-year-old. And, man, there's some really exciting arms to think about. How about the lefty that came over from the KBO?
Kyle Hart.
Yeah, Kyle Hart.
Yeah, I faced Kyle Hart in college, actually.
Oh, that's right.
When he was at Indiana.
How'd you do off him?
College World Series team. I don't know.
Don't remember.
Great question. They were so good, and we were average. So he probably dominated us, and so did the other two guys and their whole bullpen. And I mean, their team was so good. They had Schwarber, Sam Travis.
Good God.
There was another guy who like led college baseball in hits. Like they were. I mean, they went to the College World Series.
Yeah. Good team.
Before you go, are you going to Glendale today for the White Sox game? You are playing today.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Get in there and get off the tee or something. Get some work in. Do something. Sit here. Shoot the breeze.
Is that 1 o'clock?
Hey.
Do you want to admit to him what we talked about in the first segment?
What?
About the show and go?
Oh, yeah. So we had gotten a text yesterday that said, hey, we may have a problem. Schulte may give these guys a show and go day. And we said, well, we're dead. If these guys get a show and go day, they're not going to come in until 11. We won't have anybody to talk to.
I show up at the same time.
Yeah, okay, I figured.
Right, and we figured there'd be some guys.
I knew there would be guys like you guys that were early guys. T Wade just walked by. Like I knew that would be okay. But so thank you for being
here. Yes, thank you for being early.
We were really nervous that maybe nobody.
I knew you guys were coming.
All right, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did Schulte announce it? Said make it as difficult on those guys as you can. All right, good, 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 good. Okay.
Jake, it's good to see you as always. We'll be here for the next couple of days, so I'm sure we'll cross paths. But good luck the rest of spring training from all of us.
Thank you, buddy.
Jake Cronenworth, always one of our favorites. First guest of the week for Ben and Woods here at Padres spring training in Peoria. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, who knows who's coming out next, but we'll continue with the guests live from Padres spring training. We can talk. Oh, Jackson Merrill. If Paulie thinks maybe Jackson Merrill is coming out next as well. So stay tuned for that on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We're off and running here. Jake Cronenworth just joined us. It is Ben and Woods live from Padres spring training in Peoria, Arizona. After a little bit of juggling, I understand Joe Musgrove's actually going to come back out before he works out. So we're going to get caught up on Joe's progress, his rehab from Tommy John's surgery. Certainly looking good. Not that he ever hasn't looked good.
Sure.
But I'm curious about the process, you know, like going under the knife for Tommy John's surgery. And he's coming out now. So let's check track with Joe Musgrove with us here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, sitting down with us right now, kind of the heart and soul of this team, even though he won't be in the starting rotation, at least at the start of this season. Joe Musgrove is with us here from the back patio of the Peoria Sports Complex. And as you walked in, I mean, you look good, Joe. How do you feel? How's the arm? What are we, about 4 months since surgery?
Yeah, now? I believe middle October was the date, I think the 13th. So
yeah.
I think I'm coming up on 5 months here. I'm supposed to be able to start throwing around 6 months. I feel great right now. The rehab has been, you know, really, really smooth. I haven't had any setbacks, knock on wood. You know, my program as far as, you know, weightlifting and training and stuff has been, you know, right where I should be. I feel like I'm actually a little bit ahead of schedule. So I've been very patient. I've been very diligent with the work. And, you know, now that I'm a month away from throwing, I'm not going to push myself and cause a setback this late in the rehab. So I'm very close to hitting that next phase of throwing, and I'm going to make sure I get there healthy.
Well, and we were I saw the article that came out, and I think what spoke to me was the way that your teammates talked about you being around. And I don't know that it's the same for every rehabbing pitcher on every single team that they necessarily want somebody around, but with you it was different. You know, the people always said, no, we want Joe around. He's an invaluable resource as far as getting us ready and helping us. That had to feel pretty good to hear from your teammates.
Yeah, man, that's a great feeling, you know, and, you know, that's not something that I'm searching for with the decisions that I make. You know, I'm not looking for validation or for somebody to praise me. Part of it is, you know, being a good teammate. I want to be around for the guys. I do feel like I add some value to the team, whether it's leadership wise or, you know, just simply the way I work and having people around, to kind of follow my lead. But another part of it is, you know, for myself, for the ability to stay around the game and stay up to date with the things that are happening. I hate missing road trips. You know, even last year when I had some of those issues with the elbow and I didn't go on the Colorado trips, you know, missing 3-4 days and the guys come back, you feel like you've missed a whole season, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, that's got to be a really difficult thing for a ball player that's recovering from something, knowing all the homies are out and they're fighting and they're battling and you're just kind of sitting at home. Probably can weigh on you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to watch, and then the guys get home from the road trip, and you know they're telling stories and they're laughing. I'm like, what are we talking about? What's going on? You know,
you just feel like you're gone.
Yeah, so that's part of it. And then you know, I don't want to lose my edge for the game, and I feel like being around the game and investing myself into the games as if I were the one that was going to be taking the ball. You know, the anticipation, the preparation, the stress and nerves that a starter goes through leading up to a start. I don't want to lose the feeling of that, so I try to stay around as much and be involved as much as I can.
So last season, Joe, obviously it's competitive advantage to not let the opponent know what you might be going through, but you kind of knew this was coming for a while. The ligament was starting to go, and you were trying to battle all the way through. You made it into that playoff start against Atlanta. What was that like for you, knowing at any moment it could be the pitch that, all right, this is it, and then I'm going to be out for, you know, a year plus.
Yeah, I mean, a little more stressful earlier in the year. I had seen a couple doctors back in, like, June, July, and they told me I had a pretty significant tear in there. And basing what they told me off of how I felt, the two didn't match up necessarily. You know, they told me a significant enough tear where they were ready to do surgery, and I felt like I had plenty of juice left in the arm to continue throwing. And at this point, I knew there was damage, and I had kind of come to peace, you know, with the idea that there's a good chance it goes by the time I took the mound for that Braves game. And, you know, not to make myself sound like some hero, because I know there's plenty of guys that have thrown through injuries before and probably thrown through worse. But I think anybody at this level that's getting paid what I'm getting paid and has the opportunity to pitch in the postseason is going to take the ball. So, you know, I knew what the risks were and I knew what I was getting into, and it came a little sooner than I expected. The hardest thing, I think, was going into that game. You know, that was the last result that I pictured happening, was walking off the mound in the middle of the inning. You know, I thought, if anything, maybe it doesn't go my way and I get rocked, and that's going to be the worst that could happen. So that was tough to sit with for a while, but, you know, again, I kind of had the idea that there was a chance it could happen, and it was, you know, somewhat easier to sit with.
Talking to Joe Musgrove here on Ben and Woods this morning, and yeah, man, you know, nobody in that clubhouse liked how the season ended last year, certainly. But you got young players on the team. You've been through it. You know, you've been through it. You've been to the top of the mountain. So how hard was it to kind of put your arms around some of those guys in there and let them know, hey, man, we can be back, we can do this again? What was the kind of the mood like when the season ended?
Yeah, very somber, man. I mean, you know, you get so close, and we've been working since February last year. You know, it's a long, long season and a lot of time put in. And, you know, to have it end like that is, you know, it's really hard to sit with, and it happens so fast. You know, rug just gets ripped out underneath you. But I think as a group, we feel really good because we have, you know, most of the staff coming back with a few additions that are going to be really big for us. The core of our players are all coming back again with a few additions that are really going to help us. And I think the progress we made last year as a team and as a family unit, is only going to get stronger having that same core group of guys coming back with, you know, a little taste of what that looks like. So
I got to imagine too, one of our favorite Padres we got a chance to meet and spend some time with last year was Higgy. We loved Higgy. Yeah. Higgy was great. Really assimilated into the team. Now he's with Texas, and we got some new catchers in. We got some catchers that have been here before. Is that something that you also take upon yourself to kind of work with those guys to get everybody all kind of symbiotic together, like working together? So how's it been with the new catcher so far?
Yeah, man. I mean, that pitcher-catcher relationship is so important. And it's tough, you know. A new catcher coming into organization, you have 6 weeks to learn 40 new arms, you know, and what they like to do, learn their mentality, learn the way that they operate. So yeah, it takes a lot of effort on the pitcher's side to, you know, to sit down and explain and find windows throughout the day to sit and talk with your catchers, whether it's at the lunch table or on the bench during the game. You know, that's crucial. And these catchers are here at 6 a.m. every morning. Once some of the last guys to leave, these guys are working tirelessly to make sure that they're prepared and ready. So we got to a really good point with Higgy last year, and we got, you know, Martine and Sully and Campy and Diaz, who we worked with a little bit last year, guys that have some experience in the game and some that have been around us for a little while. So I think we feel good with where we're at.
Joe, it's almost funny that I don't know this, but the Tommy John surgery, hundreds of pitchers have now gone through it. And actually, it was my grandfather, Dr. Curlin, and his partner, Frank Jobe, who developed the surgery.
Yeah, yeah. That's his grandfather.
And my grandpa passed away about 30 years ago, but yeah, they was right there, you know, cutting edge procedure when they performed it on Tommy John for the first time. What is it like, though? Where did they take the ligament from? Was it from your leg?
Yeah,
did they move it into your elbow?
I don't know if there's a standard for what guys usually do. I chose to do the pulmaris, which is the forearm ligament there. Yeah, and kind of an irrelevant ligament from what I've learned. You know, some people have it, some don't. It doesn't really serve a lot of purpose. You're fine to operate without it. You know, it creates a little bit of, you know, scar tissue issues in the wrist, but I kind of figured I'd rather have one arm bandaged up than an arm and a leg or both arms. So,
are you completely like out and under for the whole surgery? And then you wake up, and what's it like?
Yeah,
like,
it's a pretty short surgery. I think it's about 45 minutes. I had, you know, some flexor issues that they repaired. I had some bone spurs. They did a little microfracturing to kind of, you know, regenerate some of the growth in the back of the elbow. So it was maybe an hour 15, an hour 20, but he said it went extremely smooth. I wake up, and some of the worst pain I've been in. And I try not to take the pain meds, you know, with any operation I've had.
It's tough.
Partially just to kind of see what I'm feeling.
And
I don't want to, you know, ever run into the issue of getting stuck on those things.
Slippery slope.
You know? But I mean, after like 2 days, I was in a lot of pain. I had the surgery on a Friday, I believe. I think it was the day of game 5 against the Dodgers. And sitting in my hotel room feeling like hell.
That's a really bad day.
Dude, I had to leave the hotel and walk. Me and my girlfriend, fiance now, we left the hotel and walked a lap or two around AT&T, the Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah.
Just to clear my head, man. I was in a bad spot. But, the first few days were really, really rough, man. And then about a week and a half in, I felt, you know, a lot better, was more tolerable. And it's just been, you know, easy cruising since then.
I broke my elbow in college, and the next time I picked up a baseball, I was so terrified. You know, it's just a scary feeling to throw or swing a golf club or whatever it may be. Obviously, I wasn't getting paid to be a professional baseball player. For you, how I guess anxious are you to get the ball in your hand and just kind of let it eat for a minute?
Yeah, I'm excited, man. This is the longest I've had off of throwing a baseball since I was probably 7 years old.
That's amazing.
I haven't been through this before. I'm in a little bit of uncharted territory, but I'm really trusting the rehab program. I'm trusting, you know, the opinions and the experience of guys that have had it before. You know, I've had a ton of phone calls with doctors, with ex-players, with current players that have had the operation, some guys that have had two. And, you know, tried to create the best program to get back the most efficiently. And a big part of that is being patient on the front end of the surgery. You know, you don't throw for 6 months. Some doctors do 4 months, but Keith Meister in Texas has had a really high success rate with his guys, and they don't throw until at least 6 months. So I've been told to be very patient on the front end and don't push yourself. And then, you know, maybe when you're on the mound in the 8-9 month mark, you can kind of make up a little bit of ground then. So everything that I've been told and the program that I followed hasn't let me down yet, so I'm going to kind of stay true to it. But, yeah, I'm very excited to throw the ball. And obviously there's concerns of, is it going to be the same? Am I going to, you know, have issues? Is there going to be setbacks? And I'm sure there will be at some point, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Well, I like to think, too, you read those stories all the time. The guy gets TJ and comes back and actually is throwing better than he ever has before. So let's keep that headspace.
Yeah,
all
absolutely,
of us.
That's absolutely, man.
That's what I would extra.
That's kind of been a big part of my thing, too, like, you know, I would love to be the guy that, you know, sets a record and comes back in 11, 12 months and is, you know, pitching lights out in the playoffs. But obviously I'm very aware that the odds of that aren't very great. But my preparation, my mindset, my training, everything has been geared around being back in October. And if we're a month away and I'm not there and it's, you know, out of reach, then I'm fine with, you know, putting the ball down and getting ready for 26. So,
by the way, congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you.
The newlywed Jake Cronenworth on, and you're heading down that road. Excited?
Yeah, very excited. We've been dating for a little over 4 years, and it was due. You know, she's been a great addition to our life. You complement each other very well. Raising a dog together has given us an idea of how we're going to handle our kids.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been great.
Dog's way easier. I'm going to tell you right now. Way easier. Yeah. Ask Manny, right? Yeah.
Like, I mean, especially a dog with severe anxiety that doesn't leave your side.
Yeah. Exactly, man. Well, yeah, congratulations on that front. Try not to have too much input on the wedding. Just try not to.
Like, That's what I said. I said, let me handle the DJ. You get whatever else you want.
And I'll just, you do this. This is, and then you run it, and we'll all do it together.
But check.
Yeah, I've kind of learned that lesson too. Joe, we wish you the very best. Obviously, thanks so much for coming on. Give your mom our love. She's always been so great to our program. Brought coffee for our
Christmas
show.
Yeah, she told
us
she brought some cold brews down.
Just incredible. My youngest son did pass gas in front of her, which was, I'll never forget that moment, certainly. But, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you the very best.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being with you guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Joe Musgrove looking hale and healthy. Well, hopefully we'll see him back maybe at the end of this year. And, you know, if not, then definitely in 2026. Now, speaking of Padres pitchers, we are going to get to meet one of the new guys. Kyle Hart is going to join us coming up in our next hour here. Anything we need to know about Kyle, Joe, before you go?
Awesome
guy, he says. Okay, well, looking forward to it. He's coming back from Korea, trying to earn a spot in this starting rotation. We'll get to meet one of the newcomers here at the Peoria Sports Complex, and Kyle Hart, the lefty, coming up in our next hour.
See the very handsome Jesse Agler for the first time over here. Look at him, buddy. How are you?
He's been here for a while now.
Yes,
he's very comfortable. He looks very comfortable. His feet are up.
He's got a little tan going. Yeah. Well, it's like a burn. He's got a little burn going. Yeah, I'll call it what it is.
Did they make you broadcast outside the last couple of games? What happened to the booth?
You can borrow my easy up, buddy.
And Mike Schilt is also going to join us coming up in our next hour as well.
Good deal.
So we'll have more guests at some point. Would love to talk about the Aztecs win last night, but we'll find some time for that.
Relax.
I know.
We'll get
it was a good
we'll
one. It was a good one.
I know. You're fired
It
up.
Was a good one. We'll get to
you
it.
I haven't done it yet.
Didn't introduce him, but we got Frank Marchese back in the studio as well. He'll be with us for the next 3 days. We continue on 1 hour down. What a good first hour. From Peoria, Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.